The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the headline, Housing Quarterly, Zip Files, Triangle's Hottest Housing Market See Shakeup. And the story, actually three stories, begin inside the Triangle Business Journal with separate headlines. Housing Market Shakeup, Triangle's Hottest Housing Market's in Flux, and this is written by David Pertell. The housing market in the Triangle has cooled significantly from the red-hot days of 2021 and 2022 as the landscape shifts from sellers to buyers. Amid the changing environment for residential real estate, where higher prices combined with elevated interest rates and persistent economic uncertainty have many potential buyers stuck on the sidelines, there are local markets where momentum is outperforming the rest of the region. In the Business Journal's latest quarterly edition of the hottest housing markets in the country, a Raleigh zip code has jumped to the top of the list for both the region and the state. The 27605 zip code, covering neighborhoods around the Village District Shopping Center and along Oberlin Road and St. Mary Street, was the hottest housing market in the second quarter based on a weighted index. The ranking is derived from listings and sales data provided by Intercontinental Exchange Incorporated. The rankings emphasize sales and pricing momentum as opposed to volume in a given market within the most recent trailing 12-month period. Only zip codes with complete data in the categories measured were included in the final ranking. For the national ranking, markets had to meet a minimum threshold of $422,800 for average sale price, the median U.S. home base price on Federal Reserve data at the end of May. A key metric that powered the 27605 zip was sale price momentum. The area saw 45 new listings in the quarter with an average list price of $753,640. But for the 17 listings sold in Q2, the average sale price was $966,529, 128% of the average listing price. That was against the trend of the top local markets in the ranking, which mostly saw average sale prices below listing price, highlighting the trend toward a buyer's market. On top of that, the average price for listings sold in the 27605 zip in Q2 was nearly 100% higher than in the same quarter of 2024, when 33 listings were sold, according to the data. Nationally, the 27605 zip ranked 37th among the hottest markets. No other market in North Carolina cracked the top 250. The rankings reflect the overall strength of the Greater Triangle housing market. The next hottest market in the area is in Chapel Hill, 27514, where there were 123 new listings in Q2 and 93 closed sales with an average price of about $732,000. Next up is the 28374 zip code for Pinehurst, which had more than 220 new listings, a 47% jump from Q1, and 143 listings sold. The average sales price was more than $647,000. But the data on the hottest housing markets doesn't necessarily tell the full story. Remove the sales price threshold and you'll see booming markets such as Wendell in eastern Wake County. The 27591 zip saw 273 new listings in Q2 and 236 listings sold with an average price of $415,500. And the 27587 zip code in Wake Forest, where home building has been booming, led the state with 425 listings sold, but that was below the Q2 2024 figure of 462. Home prices also fell slightly to $573,000. That stagnant momentum resulted in a national ranking of 1,410. And the next story in this section is an inside look at Raleigh's 27605. Walkable neighborhoods around the Village District ranked hottest market. And this is written by Kaylee Thompson. A sudden increase in single-family home sales compared to what are mostly condominium sales put an Inside the Beltline Raleigh zip code on the map for the hottest housing market in the Triangle and the state, zip code 27605, which includes the neighborhoods of Cameron Village, Forest Park, and Glenwood, Brooklyn, all historic neighborhoods, was named the hottest local housing market for the second quarter, according to an analysis by Intercontinental Exchange, Incorporated. About half the sales in Q2 were for single-family homes. The remaining sales were condos and townhomes. Bo Bromhall, real estate agent with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, York Simpson Underwood, said that typically this zip code sells mostly condos and townhomes with prices under $400,000 and only a handful of single-family homes where prices are $700,000 and up. Home sales for single-family homes increased sharply, therefore increasing the median sales price for homes sold in those neighborhoods. This shift helped give the 27605 zip code the edge over other zip codes in the region. In first quarter 2025, the average sale price was $736,558, nearly 5% below the average listing price. In the second quarter, the average sale price jumped to $966,529, 28% above the average listing price of $753,640. The 27605 zip is the only one that increased dramatically in sale price, Bromhall said. The massive increase in the median sales price is that the median type of property changed. Johnny Chappell, owner-broker with Chappell, said the zip code has a wide variety of housing types and price points, even though it's inside the Beltline. 27605 inside the Beltline has seen a little bit more activity than other parts of our market because there's a wide range of home types and price points in that market. Half the homes that were sold in the second quarter are under $400,000, and about half of them are over $1 million. And that shows you how the range varies, Chappell said. As of July 9, there were 43 condos, townhomes, and single-family homes in 27605 listed on Zillow. The highest priced is a Georgian estate listed at $3.2 million, while the lowest priced is a 502-square-foot condo listed for $225,000. Looking at the second quarter, the most expensive home sold was a duplex for $2.2 million, while the least expensive was a 750-square-foot condo for $195,000, according to Zillow. What's attracting buyers to these neighborhoods, plus the surrounding Oberlin corridor, and prompting them to pay over asking? Walkability. It is extremely desirable for people that want walkable neighborhoods because as long as you live in Forest Park or Cameron Village or Village District, you can walk to anything you need. They've got medical, they've got grocery, they've got the shops, they've got the restaurants, Bromhall said. That walkability is what's drawn buyers of all ages. The median age for 27605 is 32, according to U.S. Census data. Residents aged between 20 and 44 make up 62% of the population. Residents without children make up 92%. Chappell said the main type of home buyers are downsizers and cash buyers. Downsizing buyers and even first-time home buyers who want to be close to downtown Raleigh are the ones scooping up the lower-priced condos and townhomes. This allows them to have a lock-and-leave lifestyle that allows them not to worry about yard work or exterior maintenance. But the home buyers who are snagging the high-priced single-family homes are wealthy individuals, typically from out of state, who have cash on hand. Buyers from California and New York are able to turn around and pay cash for a less expensive home than they had previously. Living inside the Beltline with immediate access to amenities and easy access to downtown is a big attraction for those coming from bigger cities. The average sales price in the quarter across all units sold in that area was $400 a square foot, Chappell said. And so that speaks to the value that is perceived in that location inside the Beltline. People are paying $400 per square foot on average for real estate, which in our market is on the high side, so you're still getting good value inside the Beltline. And the final story in this series is written by David Pertell. Home sellers see returns tumble. As the local housing market trends toward buyers, sellers are seeing their returns dwindle. That's according to data from Atom, that's ATTOM, a property data analytics company, which found the national median profit margin on home sales fell to 50% in the first quarter of 2025, down 3 percentage points from fourth quarter 2024 and off about 5 points from first quarter 2024. It's also down from 64% in 2022. In the Raleigh area, the median profit margin for sellers in Q1 was 47.8%, a slight dip from Q4 2024, and down about 4 percentage points from the first quarter of last year. Just 3 years ago, returns were easily topping 60 and even 70%. In terms of raw dollars, the median profit margin in Q1 in the Raleigh metro was $136,250, according to Adam, down from $140,195 in Q1 2024. Back in 2022, the margin was $150,000 in the first quarter and $184,000 in the second quarter. Meanwhile, profit margins in the Durham-Chapel Hill area saw an even steeper drop, down 8% annually to $121,256. The Charlotte metro fell 5% year over year in the first quarter to $126,260. According to Adam, the national median profit margin for home sales has been declining almost every summer since 2022, but margins remain well above pre-pandemic levels. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Ex-UNC star now plays for pups. Former Tar Heel picks up dogs in a school bus and tails are wagging. Dexter Strickland once drove the lane as a basketball player at the University of North Carolina. Now the former Tar Heel has a thriving business, driving puppies in a school bus. Strickland, who has since changed his name to Baden Jackson, finished at Carolina in 2013, averaging 7.8 points as a senior. But a long career playing basketball in other countries ended abruptly 2 years ago when he tore his Achilles tendon while playing in Canada. "I was already leaning toward what is my next step," Jackson said. "This business kind of fell in my lap." Jackson had seen a business in Canada that provided playtime for dogs, and remembering how he had to keep his dog in a crate for hours while playing at UNC, he thought that concept would work in the Triangle. "I called them and introduced myself. I asked if they wanted to franchise, and they pretty much said no," he said. So he and his girlfriend decided to plunge in and bought a school bus out of West Virginia. "Here we are," said Jackson, 34. The Pup Park Shuttle launched in November. The shuttle drives to a client's home and takes their dog to a park or some other activity to keep the dogs entertained. The dogs are generally out 5 to 6 hours a day, and the Pup Park Shuttle's social media feed is full of smiling dogs and even of pups departing the bus like kindergartners arriving at home. Jackson notes that the business attracts a wide variety of dogs. "Raleigh has so many dogs," he said. The shuttle often handles up to 20 dogs a day, with prices starting at $62 per day. Business is so strong that Jackson has bought a second bus with plans to expand to Chapel Hill and to keep growing after that. "I'm expanding this throughout the country," he said, "definitely franchising it." Law firm with big Triangle presence leaps to Charlotte. A law firm based in Greensboro that has a strong Raleigh presence is moving into the Charlotte market. Brooks, Pierce, McClendon, Humphrey, and Leonard has added 3 attorneys and an office in Charlotte, moving it to 120 attorneys in all, the Triad Business Journal reported. "Opening in Charlotte isn't just about being in a new city," managing partner Jimmy Adams told the Triad Business Journal. "It's about reinforcing our commitment to being where our clients need us most, with the right people and the right experience." Planet Fitness to take over former Big Lots space. The former location of a Big Lots on Western Boulevard will have a new use. Planet Fitness plans to open by the end of the year at 3924 Western Boulevard, not far from the NC State University campus. The space was a Rose's discount store before it was a Big Lots. The trend continues, Planet Fitness snagging big box space and repurposing it. The new workout space will feature an expanded strength training area with half racks, machines, and free weights. The gym will also have a turf area, cardio equipment, and kettlebells, and more. Shawarma Stop to open location in Mooresville. Mooresville is about to get a dose of Mediterranean cuisine. Shawarma Stop, a Mediterranean restaurant on Hillsborough Street near NC State University's campus, is opening a second location on July 12th at 10966 Chapel Hill Road in Mooresville. The restaurant's 1,400 square foot space is located in the Marketplace at Perimeter Park near the Interstate 540 and Highway 54 interchange. The Marketplace at Perimeter Park is home to several restaurants and retailers, including the grocery store and cafe Bombay Central, Hoppy House Tap Room and Hangout Place, and Fount Coffee and Kitchen. Anna Jenkins with Pickett Sprouse Commercial Real Estate helped broker the lease. And finally, North Carolina schools rated as high values. If you think degrees from UNC Chapel Hill and NC State University are a bargain, you're right, at least according to Princeton Review. The well-known chronicler of higher academics recently rated the top 50 public universities for value, and UNC ranked number 3 and NC State number 9. That put both schools ahead of other premier institutions such as the College of William and Mary, number 11, the University of Georgia, number 12, the University of Texas at Austin, number 14, and the University of California, Los Angeles, number 15. Topping the ranking was the Georgia Institute of Technology at number 1. Coming in at number 2 was the University of Virginia. Tuition at Carolina for the upcoming academic year for residents of North Carolina is $7,020. At NC State, that number is $9,028 for in-state students. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. In Orange County, Chapel Hill businesses face extensive repairs. New estimates put cost of repairs in the millions of dollars after flooding. And this is written by Lauren Rhodes. Preliminary estimates for damage caused by flooding from Tropical Storm Chantal in Orange County have topped $56 million, including $16 million in damage in Chapel Hill alone. On July 6, flash flooding tore through parts of the triangle, displacing residents and destroying businesses. According to an executive summary published by the Orange County Emergency Operations Center on July 13, parts of the area received as much as 10 inches of rain from the storm. Of the $56 million in damages in Orange County, the summary estimated $12.7 million is residential, $20.7 million is commercial, and $22.6 million is public property. In all, 190 residents were displaced and 210 residential properties were impacted. Alex Carrasquillo, communications manager for the town of Chapel Hill, said that Eastgate Crossing Shopping Center, Marikakakis Plaza, that's Marikakis Plaza, and University Place were among the hardest hit areas. Initial damage assessments. Eastgate Crossing Shopping Center, Marikakis Plaza, and University Place, $6.5 million. Parks and Recreation, $5.9 million. Camelot Village, $3.2 million. Town Public Housing, South Estes Drive Extension and Airport Gardens, $500,000. The flooding at Eastgate Crossing impacted several businesses, including Trader Joe's and Kippo's Greek Taverna, owned by prolific restaurateur Georgios Bakatsias. Recovery efforts are ongoing, including in Eastgate, where businesses saw up to 5 feet of flood water. Closures include Kippo's, The Loop, Trader Joe's, and Aldi. Great Outdoor Provision Company, Chapel Hill, posted a video July 14 showing the extent of damage to this store, including standing puddles. The Orange County EOC has assessed that the area has reached all local thresholds for disaster assistance from state and federal agencies. Both the EOC and Carrasquillo said total estimates for damage are likely to change as damage assessments continue. And Kate Tracy contributed to this report. And our next story is written by Ben Tobin. Industrial Park could bring 500 jobs to Butner. Town Council approves plans for Falls Lake Industrial Park on 157 acres of land. A new industrial park that could bring hundreds of jobs to Butner officially has the green light. The Butner Town Council voted recently to approve annexation and rezoning for the Falls Lake Industrial Park development on 157 acres off Interstate 85 Service Road. The project is led by real estate firm Trinity Capital Advisors of Charlotte. Plans call for the construction of 5 speculative industrial buildings totaling about 1.1 million square feet of space. It would add to the region's supply of industrial and warehouse space, a sector that continues to see high demand as new space is delivered. Mark Frederick, an attorney with Parker Poe, who is representing Trinity on this project, said during a recent meeting that the project is a substantial investment into the town. In terms of job creation, Trinity is expecting about 500 jobs with this project, or about 100 jobs per building, Frederick said during the meeting. Depending on the tenant mix, this will range from entry-level roles up to high-skill positions, but the direct benefit there is employment opportunities for local residents in the area. Frederick added that Trinity plans to invest up to $130 million in the development. The land is owned by the Bradshaw family and has a market value of just shy of $2.3 million, according to county deed records. According to materials submitted to the town, construction will start this fall and will be done in two phases, with the first three buildings in the first phase and the last two in the second. Representatives of Trinity did not respond to requests seeking comment about a full construction timeline. The Butner Town Council voted unanimously for the rezoning and annexation. The rezoning makes sense. I think that's what needs to be there, Councilman Thomas Lane said during the meeting. It gives us the opportunity to make good use of that land. It would be difficult for a lot of other kinds of functions on that property. This project could be transformative for the Granville County town. Butner's population sits at just above 8,100 and hasn't grown much over the past 15 years, according to U.S. Census data. The land proposed for the industrial park is just south of the Gate 2 road exit off Interstate 85. Butner leaders are studying potential changes to this road, which is the main thoroughfare of the town, to promote future residential, industrial, and commercial development. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the reporters' pages. We start with Ben Tobin's page, Greater Triangle. In Moore County, local group adds golf courses. Kelly Miller expands reach of Sandhills Collection with two more courses. A group spearheaded by a prominent Moore County businessman has spent millions to acquire two golf courses in the Pinehurst area. Rolling Pines LLC, an offshoot of Mid Pines Development Group, led by Kelly Miller, purchased the Foxfire Golf Club and the Country Club of Whispering Pines for a little more than $3.5 million, according to deeds recorded this week in Moore County. Each club has two 18-hole courses. We see great opportunities in both properties, Miller said in a statement. Our goal is to make significant improvements on all four courses and get them on an upward trajectory. The Sandhills area is growing. North Carolina is growing. And Raleigh, Sanford, and Fort Bragg seem to be getting closer and closer to us. There has been very little new golf built in Moore County in the last 20 years. This is a chance to polish some classic golf courses from outstanding designers and make them available to the public at a reasonable price. The combined sale price is well below the property's assessed value, which is above $5 million, according to tax records. Great Life Golf purchased both properties in 2012, the Country Club of Whispering Pines for close to $2 million, and Foxfire for around $1.3 million. Built in 1968 and designed by Gene Hamm, Foxfire Resort and Golf features 36 holes across roughly 335 acres. The Country Club of Whispering Pines was built in 1959, and designed by Ellis Maples, it features 36 holes on more than 340 acres. These past few weeks have proven to be busy for both Miller's Group and the golf landscape in Moore County. The Mid Pines Inn and Golf Club and Pine Needles Lodge and Golf Club in Southern Pines are joining a partnership with Marine and Lawn Hotels, a division of AJ Capital Partners of Nashville, Tennessee. Garner Retail Center near I-40 sells for $6 million. A new retail center just across the Johnston County line from Wake County has sold to a couple of local buyers for millions, another marker of just how hot retail is in the area. Holder Commercial Ventures LLC and Marion Properties 1 LLC, which have addresses in Mount Airy and Cary, respectively, purchased the shops at Swift Creek at 10 Technology Drive in Garner for $6 million, according to Johnston County deed records. The seller is a group tied to Charlotte-based Woodhaven Development Group, which bought an aging strip mall at the location for $1.85 million before tearing it down and rebuilding it. Current tenants of the shopping center spread across 940,000-square-foot building on roughly an acre include Aspen Dental, AT&T, and Mattress Warehouse. A new Chipotle restaurant next door sold for $3.5 million in April. The shops at Swift Creek sits near the intersection of Veterans Boulevard, formerly known as NC 42 in the area, and Interstate 40, making it one of the busiest intersections across Johnston County. And other groups are looking to take advantage of it. Triangle Business Journal reported in June that a developer purchased 2.8 acres of off Cleveland Road in Garner for just shy of $2.7 million. Mobile home parks in Anger sell for $8 million. A Charlotte real estate firm specializing in affordable housing in the Southeast has expanded its portfolio with acquisitions in Anger. Six Rock properties purchased four mobile home communities this month, according to Harnett County deed records. The combined purchase price was just shy of $8.4 million. The properties are Crepe Myrtle Mobile Home Park at 19 Merchant Drive, Taylor Village Mobile Home Park at 307 Harold Drive, Brentwood Mobile Home Park at 4045 Abattoir Road, and 26 Crestview Mobile Home Lot 26. The seller was Anger's Harlaw Realty Corporation of North Carolina. Chris Ebert, managing member of Six Rock Property, said, "Lots of new single-family homes are being built, but not much in terms of affordable housing. Affordable housing is where we specialize. We plan to hold these properties long-term and reinvest in them, preserving a lower-cost option in the area." And finally, Big Box Store, part of $27 million sale. As proof of just how hot the retail scene is in Moore County, a new big box store has sold for more than $27 million to out-of-state investors. Multistate Realty Management, LLC, Irvington Building Management, LLC, and 26 Winans Street Realty Corporation purchased more than 12 acres that include the BJ's Wholesale Club off Southern Road in Southern Pines for $27.3 million in late June, according to deed records. The BJ's Wholesale Club, which spans more than 100,000 square feet, opened in March and is the first one in Moore County. It's part of the Morganton Park South. The seller in the recent transaction was Midland Atlantic Properties of Cincinnati, the developer behind Morganton Park South. And now we turn to Lauren Onosorge's page, Technology and Finance. Levitate plans to expand again. Lipson sees opportunity to grow by up to 50 employees over 6 months. Levitate, a homegrown technology company founded by serial entrepreneur Jesse Lipson, is expanding in Raleigh. Lipson, whose previous startup, ShareFile, was sold to Citrix for $93 million, said the expansion will facilitate major growth. Levitate develops what it calls a happiness platform, one that combines communication tools with AI to help companies build relationships. The company is based at the Gateway Plaza hub of Raleigh Founded, a co-working space Lipson co-founded. It will remain there even after Raleigh Founded vacates the space later this year. At the end of November, Levitate will have the entire space as well as a pair of retail units in that shopping center. "That should hold us for the next 2 to 3 years," he said. "If we didn't take over the space, we'd have to move." That's because Levitate, at about 260 employees, is growing quickly. Lipson expects to hire another 30 to 50 people over the next 6 months. There's no exit in sight, unlike its ShareFile, which was 6 years in and about 100 employees strong when Lipson sold it to Citrix. "Part of my goal when I started this company, I had gone through the path of running a company to a certain size and then selling it," he said. "I wanted to go a lot further." Lipson said the company is focused on execution and growth, adding functions such as sales support. Bolstering that journey is the $15 million Levitate raised last year, part of an overall funding haul of $55 million. "It's a fun stage in the company right now," Lipson said. Levitate started with about 6,300 square feet and 90 desks at Raleigh Founded in 2019. Since then, it has taken over two additional storefronts at Gateway and expanded into other parts of the co-working space. The latest expansion adds the remaining 15,000 square feet. Martin Marietta names new CFO. 3 months after the departure of its chief financial officer, Raleigh aggregate supplier Martin Marietta has promoted one of its own to the role. Michael Petro takes over for Robert Cardin, who served as interim CFO since April. Cardin had taken on the post after the departure of James Nicholas, who left for the CFO role at CNH Industrial. Petro, who joined Martin Marietta in 2015 and was previously its senior vice president of strategy and development, is a former investment banker at Wells Fargo Securities with an MBA from Duke University. His base salary will be increased to $600,000. Petro will also receive a one-time grant of restricted stock units valued at $1 million. The grant fully vests in 5 years, so long as Petro stays with the company. According to Martin Marietta, Petro has played a key role in formulating and executing key initiatives, including acquisitions such as that of bluegrass materials. Consulting Group plans growth in Durham. Nearly 3 years after opening its Triangle outpost, Boston Consulting Group has new office space in Durham as it works to grow its local headcount to 100 by the end of the year. Its fast growth for the Boston company, which reported $13.5 billion in revenue for 2024, up from $12.3 billion in 2023. Paul Paduri, senior partner with Boston Consulting Group and Raleigh-Durham office leader, said the growth is expected to continue at the 15,500 square foot space at American Tobacco Campus. The company previously was in a 11,450 square foot space at One City Center. Paduri joined BCG after business school at Duke University. Initially based in BCG's Philadelphia office, he spent considerable time advocating for the Triangle, and when BCG finally bought in, it felt like a personal victory. "It's a huge deal that we did this," he said. "Raleigh is not Manhattan, and so for a firm like BCG that typically operates in pretty global cities, it was the happiest day ever when we decided to do this." Initially, BCG operated out of WeWorks, One City Center location in downtown Durham, with a team of 20. Paduri said the local office is on track to reach 100 employees by year's end, above average growth for a new BCG outpost. And finally, tech company raises $58 million to fuel expansion. A Morrisville artificial intelligence company chasing firms with billionaire clients has raised nearly $60 million. Eton Solutions, that's E-T-O-N, has closed a $58 million Series C round, its wealth management platform, which helps single and multifamily offices manage more than $1 trillion in assets, raised the sum from an investor group led by Navis Capital Partners. Eton says it has quadrupled its revenue and expanded its client base by 340% across 15 countries. Chairman Satyen Patel said Eton is already profitable, though he didn't give revenue numbers for the company. "This allows us to do all the things we want to do to expand more aggressively internationally, as well as also enter new domains," he said. And now we turn to Zach Ezzone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. The first headline, new hospital will aid pension fund. UNC Duke to work together on planned NC Children's Hospital. UNC Health and Duke Health's plan to build a multi-billion dollar children's hospital campus in Apex could turn into a nice payoff for North Carolina's pension fund. NC Children's, the partnership between UNC and Duke, will build the hospital within a planned 1,000-acre development called Viridia, where the land is owned by the North Carolina Retirement Systems, NCRS, a division of the Department of State Treasurer that administers the pension funds for state and local government employees. The hospital land deal, which includes nearly 230 acres, will deliver a profit to the retirement systems. The retirement systems and RXR Realty of New York in late 2022 formed, quote, a partnership to invest certain monies for NCRS, unquote, with the retirement systems taking a 99% equity ownership stake, according to the state treasurer's office. The state invested $200 million in the partnership, followed by another $75 million in April 2024, according to meeting minutes from the Treasury Department's Investment Advisory Committee. The partnership in early 2023 acquired about 1,000 acres for the Viridia development for $91 million. The total size of the project is estimated to be 1,109 acres with land acquisition costs of $122 million. The partnership has reached agreements to sell land in Viridia to Wake Technical Community College, Wake County Schools, home builder Lennar, and NC Children's. RXR and NCRS have about 530 acres remaining to develop, according to the Department of State Treasurer. The parties have not disclosed the financial details of the Children's Hospital transaction, which is expected to close in first quarter 2026. You can imagine this is a really long development process with multiple funding streams that are not exactly locked down at the moment, said State Treasurer Brad Briner. MicroPep installs new CEO to lead New Focus. An agriculture firm in Research Triangle Park has brought on a new CEO at a crucial juncture. MicroPep Technologies has named George Gores, G-O-E-R-E-S, chief executive as the firm begins to transition from a research and development organization to one also focused on its commercial plans. MicroPep uses its artificial intelligence platform. Is developing novel crop protections through the use of micropeptides, very small proteins. Gores succeeds founder Thomas Laurent, who had led MicroPep since spinning it out of a laboratory in France in 2016. Since then, it has developed its discovery platform, Chrysalix, raised more than $60 million and opened offices in Boston and North Carolina. The company has about 50 employees, with about 35 people in France and 15 in North Carolina. Locally, it operates in Startup Space on Laboratory Drive in Research Triangle Park. Gores was attracted to the role due to his career aspirations and MicroPep's technology. Having the opportunity to lead an organization as a CEO is great, but that wouldn't be interesting if the company wasn't interesting, Gores said. MicroPep is developing peptide-based crop protection solutions that it says can be safer for the environment and humans while maintaining a consistent high performance in the field. WakeMed to expand in Fuquay Varina. WakeMed Health has secured approval for a multi-million dollar expansion in Wake County. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services in June approved WakeMed's proposal to develop a new outpatient facility in Fuquay Varina, totaling 25,000 square feet, with a freestanding emergency department and more. The $38 million project brings additional services to one of the fastest-growing municipalities in North Carolina. The WakeMed Fuquay Varina HealthPlex will include 12 private treatment rooms, a fixed CT scanner, two X-ray machines, and ultrasound equipment, according to the application. The facility will support the growing and aging population in Wake County and nearby Harnett County. According to the application, between 2024 to 2029, the age group of residents 65 and older in Wake and Harnett counties is expected to grow up to four times as fast as other age groups. And finally, St. Augs suffers another blow on accreditation. Embattled, St. Augustine's University has lost another attempt to preserve its accreditation. An arbitration committee has unanimously upheld a decision to strip St. Augs of its accreditation. The Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges in December voted to remove St. Augustine's from its membership. An appeal failed, and then the university initiated a 90-day arbitration process. However, the university plans to file an injunction. St. Augustine's will offer classes virtually in the upcoming fall semester. Enrollment figures for the school have collapsed. It had just a couple hundred students at the beginning of the 2024 fall semester. And now we turn to Lauren Rhodes' page, Hospitality in Higher Ed. Project to proceed despite setback. Union Grove Farm sees bid for amphitheater denied by county official. Union Grove Farm has announced plans to go forward with a three-acre culinary farm, a regenerative distillery, and an educational center. The announcement followed a final and binding determination letter from Orange County Planning and Inspections Director Cy Stober approving those elements of the project. However, Stober did not approve the farm's proposed 2,500-seat amphitheater. The letter says the amphitheater is not a form of agritourism. Union Grove has filed a legal appeal challenging that decision, calling the amphitheater a critical component of its long-term operational vision. Stober also denied approval for overnight accommodations, including 10 cottages, a 40-room farm stay center, 1,000 square feet of event space, and a 70-seat restaurant, citing that the development was not for a bona fide farm purpose and did not fulfill the statutory definition of agritourism. Union Grove Farm said it will not appeal that part of the decision. The plan has faced resistance in the surrounding community. Concerns were raised about noise, lighting, public safety, and the commercialization of Orange County's Rural Buffer Zoning District, which limits development. A group, Defend Maple View Community, distributed signs that read, "Plant grapes, not resorts," "No amphitheater," and "Stop agritourism abuse." Founder and owner Greg Boland said the farm filed the appeal because the amphitheater is essential to achieving its broader goals, including aligning with North Carolina's definition of agritourism. The state defines agritourism as any activity conducted on a farm or ranch that allows the public to view or participate in rural activities for recreational, entertainment, or educational purposes. But the farm setting must be essential to the activity. Chapel Hill to add new sports bar on Franklin Street. A new sports bar serving up tastes from Eastern Europe has opened in downtown Chapel Hill. 140 Social features Ukrainian street food, 36 draft beers, a stage for live music, and a 17-foot media wall. Owners Anton Chikenko, spelled T-K-A-C-H-E-N-K-O, Tachenko, Igor Benchak, and Val Titushin have hosted a few soft openings, officially launched the restaurant July 12th. Titushin said their goal is to cater the space to the town's vibe, including the diverse mix of people on Franklin Street. The space was previously occupied by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room, which closed in 2017. The location in the plaza at Church Street and Franklin Streets sat vacant for years. The mixed-use development, which includes more than 26,000 square feet of retail space, serves as a hub for events. While the owners didn't remodel the space, Titushin said they invested about $400,000 in repairs and redesign. The menu ranges from $13 burgers to $6 pierogi. The roughly 7,000 square foot space includes indoor and outdoor bars, lounge areas, a patio, and a game area with shuffleboard and table tennis. The venue also features a walk-up milkshake kiosk called Dead Milkman, where customers can order spiked or specialty shakes to go or to enjoy at their seats. Chapel Hill puts plans for a parking lot on pause. Ahead of a busy football season and the start of a new school year at the University of North Carolina, the town of Chapel Hill has postponed plans to revamp a downtown parking lot. The pilot program reimagines the use of a parking lot at the intersection of Rosemary and Columbia Streets, known as Lot 2. It aims to create a gathering space using low-cost, flexible materials, according to the town's website. However, due to a tight budget this year, the Lot 2 project will not meet its original pilot design and testing date of summer 2025. The town is still exploring ways to use the space. A spokesperson for Chapel Hill confirmed the project is paused following town council discussions. The plan in Chapel Hill is part of a larger vision to reshape the downtown economy with the focus on more professional offerings, a 12-month economy instead of being so heavily dependent on college students. And our last story on this page, NCSU commits to $180 million research building. NC State University is pressing forward with a major investment in research despite cuts to federal funding. The $180 million Woodson Hall, also known as the Integrative Sciences Building, will span 153,000 square feet. Its interdisciplinary approach is what will set the facility and the adjacent Integrative Sciences Initiative research program apart, says Executive Director Joshua Pierce. Funding for Woodson Hall is split between the university and the General Assembly. The first two floors will be dedicated to undergraduate education, while the third through fifth floors will house research labs and the Integrative Sciences Initiative. The building is expected to be fully operational by spring 2027. And now we turn to Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. Sprouts plans second store in Raleigh, opening as part of a major revamp of Pleasant Valley Promenade. Sprouts Farmers Market has signed a lease and plans to open in 2027 at Pleasant Valley Promenade along Glenwood Avenue in Northwest Raleigh. Sprouts, based in Phoenix, has more than 443 stores in 24 states and employs approximately 31,000 people per its website. In North Carolina, there are two stores in Charlotte, with a third on the way, and one each in Raleigh at Falls of Neuse and Litchford Roads, Fayetteville, Durham, and Greensboro. Major redevelopment is in the works at Pleasant Valley Promenade. Plans filed with the city in May show intent to demolish an existing structure and construct a single-story grocery store, an attached commercial building, and a freestanding building with supporting infrastructure. According to a leasing brochure, redevelopment is planned in three different areas at Pleasant Valley Promenade. One of the sites is where the Spirit Halloween used to be and where current tenants, including Jimmy John's, Starbucks, and Arepa Culture, are located. Second is the building right next door to Boot Barn. The third redevelopment area is the parking lot along Pleasant Valley Road and the Exhibition Hub Art Center Raleigh. Plans show intent to demolish the art center and replace it with a five-story, 351-unit apartment building. The city approved the apartment project in 2023, but the art center has yet to be demolished. The Providence Group is handling leasing at Pleasant Valley Promenade. Kimco Realty owns the shopping center. Engineering firm McAdams filed site plans for the grocery and commercial buildings, while Kimley Horn is working on the apartment project. Couple to open butcher shop in Wendell. Lauren and Chris Gass plan to open Bellow Butcher Company this fall at 8 North Main Street in downtown Wendell. In addition to pork and beef cuts, Bellow Butcher Company will sell deli sandwiches, build your own charcuterie board items, and a number of retail products. The 1,040 square foot shop will have seating for 15. Bellow Butcher also plans to cater events. They met while working at Pine Valley Market in Wilmington. After getting married, they moved to Nashville, Tennessee, where Lauren Gass worked as a sous chef at Husk. Chris Gass was the former chef de cuisine at Brodetto and also worked at Mandolin in Raleigh. The couple loved the quaint atmosphere of downtown Wendell, as well as its proximity to their home in Zebulon. Plus, Wendell is one of the most active areas in the region for home sales and residential development. The shop will sell cuts of beef and pork, including ribeye, tenderloins, chuck eye, bone-in pork chops, and bacon. It will also sell lesser-known specialty cuts, such as oyster steaks, located near the hip bone, and Denver steak, located near the shoulder blade. The cost of build-out is about $60,000, funded through personal loans and a downtown improvement grant through the town of Wendell. Raleigh Shop blends taproom with disc golf. Bradley Bushman is bringing a Raleigh, a Charlotte-based concept that blends craft beer with disc golf. Called Another Round Disc Golf, the venue doubles as a tap room and retail store. The plan is to open in August at 5540 Atlantic Springs Road in Northeast Raleigh. Bushman said it was important for him to be close to a disc golf course, so he liked the 1,600 square foot space, a former barbershop, for its proximity to the course at Cedar Hills Park. In addition to selling discs, bags, apparel, and other merchandise, Another Round will have a tap room with eight beers, primarily from local breweries, on tap and seating for about 20 people. Another Round will also feature a disc simulator where customers can throw a specialized disc into a net to measure speed, nose angle, spin, and other data. Guests can also play famous disc golf holes like the Gates of Valhalla in Norway. And finally, investor flips Raleigh property for millions. Crossland Southeast of Charlotte sold property along South Saunders Street for $8.95 million on July 1st, according to Wake County deed records. The site at 2604 South Saunders Street near Sam's Club, just south of Interstate 40, is set to become a 7-Eleven convenience store. The sale comes after Crossland bought the 1.63-acre property in February for $2 million. It has an assessed value of $3.24 million, according to tax records. The buyer this time is Tremont Oz LLC in care of law firm Bookalter. Jason Brooks, shareholder at Bookalter's offices in Nashville, Tennessee and Los Angeles, said the buyer wishes to remain anonymous. According to a deed of trust, Steve Dusablin is a lender on the purchase. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to some general news stories. This first one, written by Kate Tracy. CMC Hotels adds boutique option in Cary. Hive House opens just off Highway 1. We'll be joined by Residence Inn by Marriott. Visitors to Cary have a new option for overnight stays amid a flurry of hospitality development in one of the hottest parts of the Triangle. Hive House is open at 1121 Leadsom Lane off Walnut Street near the Crossroads Retail District. CMC Hotels, a hospitality company based in Cary, owns and operates the hotel, which sits just off U.S. Highway 1. CMC is also building a seven-story Residence Inn by Marriott next to Hive House. Formerly the site of a Best Western hotel that opened in the 1980s, CMC demolished two of the buildings to make way for the Residence Inn, which is expected to open in 2026. Another building that was part of the Best Western was renovated to be Hive House. The project was an opportunity to do something unusual and unique, according to CMC Chief Operating Officer Sherry Earhart. "We don't have a lot of boutique hotels in Cary," she said. CMC Hotel CEO purchased the land for the Best Western in 1984 for under $100,000. Today, it is worth millions. Hive House, an extended stay hotel, features 45 suites, each with two bedrooms, full kitchens, and a separate living area. Amenities include a lounge with a billiards table and chess nook, in addition to a fitness center with a Peloton. Rooms cost $150 per night, according to Hive House's website. Earhart did not disclose the investment in the hotel conversion. "We definitely went over budget. It was a passion project," she said. In addition to Hive House and the Residence Hotel, CMC also owns the adjacent Spring Hill Suites Raleigh, Cary, and the Fairfield Inn and Suites Raleigh, Cary. Across US 1, the firm also owns the Courtyard Raleigh, Cary Crossroads. "We are really invested in Cary," Earhart said. "Cary is just booming with growth and creativity." Earhart worked with a few local artists and designers on the hotel, including muralist Clark Hippolito of Art Co. Hive House is CMC's first independently branded boutique hotel, which comes with virtual check-ins and digital keys for seamless check-ins. "We're calling it the new generation of hospitality," Earhart said. In addition to Hive House and the Residence Inn, CMC is also planning a dual-branded Tempo by Hilton and Home 2 Suites by Hilton near Raleigh-Durham International Airport, according to Earhart. The firm lists 11 hotels in its portfolio. CMC's in-house general contractor, Chabra Construction Corporation, handled construction at Hive House. Earhart's husband, John Earhart, recently raised $45 million for his hotel management software company, InFlow. CMC is one of InFlow's customers. And North Carolina cancels more incentives for LendingTree. This is written by Colin Hughley. North Carolina's Economic Investment Committee voted to not issue job development investment grant payments to LendingTree Incorporated for 2022 and 2023, tied to a 2016 JDIG deal for the company's Charlotte headquarters expansion. Incentives records show LendingTree fell short of the minimum requirements for job creation and total investment. Records show that LendingTree had to retain 296 workers, create 283 jobs, and invest $42.2 million to meet its incentive requirements. The company met its retention requirements for both 2022 and 2023, but records from 2022 show the company only created 198 jobs and invested $41.4 million for the 2016 project. Documents for 2023 show the job creation number had fallen significantly to just 29 new jobs under the deal. The investment figure had ticked up to $41.5 million by 2023. LendingTree's initial 2016 project announcement called for a $47 million investment and the creation of 314 jobs over a five-year period. Incentives records show LendingTree's JDIG deal had a maximum grant value of $610,000 per year over 12 years from 2017 until 2029. The move came after the committee last year axed incentives at LendingTree's request, tied to a separate expansion that was announced in 2018. Financial firms pick Charlotte. Charlotte adds more jobs as Citigroup, AssetMark expand in the city. And this is written by Jenna Martin. Two financial firms have picked Charlotte for hundreds of jobs with six-figure salaries. New York-based Citigroup Incorporated will invest $16.1 million into an office facility in Charlotte that will create 510 jobs by the end of 2027, the Charlotte Business Journal reported. It's not immediately clear where the global financial services company will locate the facility. As we reviewed our real estate footprint in the United States, Charlotte stood out as a location where we had a unique opportunity to invest by establishing a formal presence, said Edward Schuyler, city's head of enterprise services and public affairs, in a release. This will create a better working environment for our existing colleagues as well as allow us to further tap into the deep pool of talent in this market. The North Carolina Economic Investment Committee approved a job development investment grant worth about $11.92 million for the project. The grant was awarded to Citigroup Technology Incorporated, a Citigroup subsidiary, for a new hub location to expand its technology development and related operations. During the JDIG's 10-year term, the project is estimated to grow the state's economy by more than $2.7 billion. Additional state and local grants to Citigroup pushed the total incentives offer over $12 million. NC incentives documents show. The average salary for the new positions will be $131,832, according to the release. That compares to an average wage of $86,830 in Mecklenburg County. Citigroup plans to add jobs in personal banking, finance, and marketing. The company will retain 385 positions in North Carolina as part of its state incentives agreement. Charlotte beat out Jacksonville, Florida for Citigroup's expansion. In addition, AssetMark Financial Holdings Incorporated, a wealth management platform for financial advisors, will create 252 jobs in Charlotte. The company will invest $10 million in Mecklenburg County by the end of 2027. The annual wage for AssetMark's new jobs here will average $110,518. Those jobs will include product engineers and designers, senior sales relationship managers, trading engineers and operations, finance and human resources personnel. They will be created between 2025 and 2029. The state's Economic Investment Committee approved a JDIG worth about $2.6 million for AssetMark. The project also received additional state and local incentives. It's expected to boost North Carolina's economy by more than $1.2 billion during the grant's 12-year term. AssetMark will retain 45 workers in the state as part of the deal. Concord, California-based AssetMark, with its affiliates, AssetMark Trust Company, Voyant, and Adhesion Wealth Advisor Solutions, has more than 1,000 employees and serves more than 10,700 financial advisors and more than 317,000 investor households. And in our final seconds of today's program, we'll read a couple of big numbers that are dropped in throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first big number is 45. The number of suites in the new Hive House in Cary. And the other big number really is a percentage, 50% amount the national median profit margin on home sales fell in first quarter 2025. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.